WSJM News Now. Team coverage from the WSJM Newsroom on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM.
Brought to you by the Town Crier Wire. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says it's making historic investments that will benefit farmers and food processing and distribution facilities here in Michigan and nationwide. USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs Jenny Lester Moffitt says this should be especially helpful to family farms.
We've seen a loss over the past few decades of small and mid-sized family farming operations, and we're really hoping to reverse this by strengthening the food supply chain, strengthening the opportunity for producers to bring and increase their share of the food dollar back to their family farming operation.
Moffitt says the investment should also save and create jobs while helping to meet consumer demand for quality food that ends up on the kitchen table. Michigan State Police at the Paw Paw Post have started a new program to provide free gun safes to firearm owners in Van Buren County. MSP Lieutenant Dwayne Robinson tells us the Post is teaming up with Bronson Prevention Services, which has procured several hundred of the boxes. There are two ways a gun owner can get a free safe via the program. It's now open to Van Buren County and Kalamazoo County residents.
Say, for instance, if they go and purchase a pistol from a gun retail shop in one of those counties, with that purchase, they are going to receive a free safe to go along with it. The second way is there are going to be vouchers supplied by the Post where individual gun owners can take their vouchers to one of those locations and they could receive a gun safe.
Robinson says those who take firearm classes will also be offered a voucher. Michigan State Police Post is offering the initiative in response to the state's new safe storage law that took effect last month. Robinson says under it, guns must be locked up and locked in homes where a minor is present. Any current gun owners who are interested can stop by the State Police Paw Paw Post to get a voucher to then be taken to a gun shop. The Post is also offering free gun locks. There's a lot of drainage work going on in Bridgman, and Berrien County Drain Commissioner Christopher Quatran says it'll help the community continue growing without the risk of neighborhood flooding. Last week, some Berrien County commissioners questioned the costs associated with the Bridgman work, in particular related to the Tanner Creek drain. Quatran tells us there have been engineering costs, but nothing unusual.
The cost we've been working on is we've issued some purchase orders for the engineering of that, which they've gone out and done some survey work. We've also had some of the engineers with the meetings and also the board terminations. There's been some upfront costs, and that's very common with these projects.
Quatran says the Bridgman work now being planned was requested in the community.
The landowners petitioned us because of the water problems and flooding problems they had. We then went to the city, and the city also petitioned us. And so we started what we call a petition project to be redesigning those drains. We held our board of termination. A need of necessity was found in all of them.
Quatran says there are four drains in Bridgman, the largest of which is the Tanner Creek drain that ends in Lake Michigan. He says he hasn't yet been asked to speak to the county commission about the projects, although it has indicated a desire to hear from him. A Niles couple charged with several felony counts of Medicaid fraud through their counseling practice has pleaded guilty. The Michigan Attorney General's office says Gregory Barney has pleaded to two counts of Medicaid fraud, while his wife Jacqueline Barney has pleaded guilty to the same. The Barneys agreed to pay more than $48,000 in restitution to the Medicaid program, and each charge is a four-year felony. The AG's office says Gregory Barney, a licensed marriage and family counselor, is the owner of Highland Counseling Center in Niles, while his wife is the office manager, administrator, and biller for the business. The office says while working as a biller for separate local medical office, Jacqueline Barney obtained patient information from other practices and billed Medicaid for counseling sessions provided by Gregory Barney that were never actually provided. And clients contacted during the investigation said they didn't know Gregory Barney and were not counseled by him. The couple is scheduled to be sentenced May 30th. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel says her office takes Medicaid fraud seriously and has a, quote, commitment to protecting the integrity of the Medicaid's program. March is National Criminal Justice Month, and advocates say people with mental illness are overrepresented in jails and prisons. According to the Prison Policy Initiative, 43% of people in state prisons and 44% of people in local jails have been diagnosed with a mental health disorder. Nick Buckingham is co-founder of Michigan Liberation, which is leading a campaign to decriminalize mental illness and substance abuse. He says instead of incarceration, individuals should receive proper mental health diagnosis and support, as jail often fails to address the underlying issues and change behavior effectively.
In Michigan, a lot of our institutions to house folks with mental illness have been closed down, and prisons and jails have become a holding spot for a lot of these folks.
Buckingham says the campaign addresses stigmas related to substance use and encourages community members to engage with advocacy groups discussing the issues openly. He also reminds everyone that calling 988 for support is another resource. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services has announced a new way for Michigan residents to track the progress of their bridge benefits claims. It's released a new function to the MI Bridges website where Michiganders apply for benefits like Medicaid, food assistance, and more. The new application tracker will allow them to follow the progress of their benefits application online rather than waiting for a determination letter or having to call an office. When an applicant logs into their MI Bridges account, the application tracker can be viewed on their client dashboard. For privacy and security, application and benefits information are only shown to residents who are identity proofed and listed as a head of the household on the account. The new tracker went online today. MDHHS Director Elizabeth Hertel says, in addition to making things easier for residents, the new tracker will hopefully also result in lower call volumes to local offices. And many of us have taken a mental health day when we don't feel like going to work. Now, a new University of Michigan study finds 1 in 5 parents of middle and high school kids say they're okay with letting their student take a mental health day to stay home from school. Sarah Clark is the director of the U of M Mott's Children's Hospital and National Poll on Children's Health.
I am pleased that parents recognize both medical illness and mental health as reasons that we consider whether students need a break. It wasn't too long ago that the response to a mental health challenge would be suck it up and go to school. And I think parents are getting smarter about the fact that mental health issues are real for kids in middle school and high school.
Clark says the study also found 2/3 of parents report their adolescent or teen worries about how sick days might affect their grades or social relationships. WSJM News now continues with your Bloomberg report. WSJM News now continues. There have been major developments in 2 different New York cases involving former President Donald Trump. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has the latest.
The judge presiding over the Stormy Daniels hush money trial says jury selection in that case will begin in 3 weeks. Donald Trump had sought more time, and he furiously blasted the decision as election interference. But Trump also says he's pleased by an appeals court ruling that substantially lowers the bond he must pay to challenge the judgment in his corporate fraud case. He's now been given 10 days to post a $175 million bond, and Trump says he'll comply with that.
The United Nations Security Council has issued its first demand for a ceasefire in Gaza, with the U.S. angering Israel by abstaining from the vote. Israel responded to Monday's vote by canceling a visit to Washington by a high-level delegation in the strongest public clash between the allies since the start of the war. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accused the U.S. of retreating by allowing the vote to pass without conditioning the ceasefire on the release of hostages held by Hamas. The resolution was approved 14-0 by the 15-member council after the U.S. decided not to use its veto power. ABC's Jordana Miller reports from Jerusalem.
Just hours before its departure, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu canceling an Israeli delegation to Washington. Netanyahu openly citing the failure of the U.S. to veto a U.N. Security Council resolution that calls for an immediate Gaza ceasefire. The Israeli leader accusing the U.S. of abandoning its position. The resolution that passed does not condition a ceasefire on the release of Israeli hostages. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby denying that the U.S. vote to abstain is a shift in policy. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Russian President Vladimir Putin said gunmen who carried out a deadly concert hall attack in a Moscow suburb last week were radical Islamists. Speaking in a meeting with government officials, Putin said the killings were carried out by extremists, quote, whose ideology the Islamic world has been fighting for centuries. Putin, who said over the weekend the 4 attackers were arrested while trying to escape to Ukraine, did not mention the affiliate of the Islamic State group that claimed responsibility for the attack. He again refrained from mentioning ISIS in his remarks today. He also stopped short of saying who ordered the attack. After Kevin McCarthy was ousted from the Speaker's chair, the U.S. House went nearly a month without a Speaker, and that chamber was thrown into legislative chaos. However, don't expect that again, even though Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has mounted an effort to remove Speaker Mike Johnson. More if maybe he's Jay O'Brien.
Marjorie Taylor Greene's effort to oust Speaker Mike Johnson isn't expected to throw the House of Representatives into the kind of chaos that we saw when Matt Gaetz removed Kevin McCarthy from his job in the House, went 22 days without a Speaker. That's because Greene didn't file it in the procedural way that would guarantee the motion to remove Johnson a vote.
It's more of a warning and a pink slip.
Republican lawmakers also tell ABC News, they're not aware of colleagues who are vying to become the next speaker, citing the fractious conference that Johnson has to manage. Jay O'Brien, ABC News, Washington.
As President Joe Biden campaigns for re-election at a furious pace, his 2024 rival, Donald Trump, is behind closed doors. Trump has held just a single campaign event since he locked up the Republican presidential nomination on March 12th. Biden, meanwhile, has been barnstorming the country. After Tuesday, he will have touched down in all the 2024 swing states in the less than 3 weeks since his State of the Union address. The differing approaches underscore the deficits each side must overcome. Trump faces a serious money shortfall and mounting legal bills, while Biden is working to combat persistent voter concerns about his age. The CEO of Boeing is stepping down. More from ABC's Mike Dubusky.
Dave Calhoun is set to resign as CEO of Boeing at the end of the year. It comes less than 3 months after a door plug blowout left a gaping hole in an Alaska Airlines Boeing jet mid-flight. Calhoun called the incident a watershed moment for the company, which had already been facing scrutiny for two deadly crashes in 2018 and 2019. Larry Kellner, Boeing's chairman of the board, and Stan Deal, the company's CEO of commercial airplanes, are also stepping down. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
The Supreme Court is considering a new abortion case affecting women across the U.S. Abortion opponents want the high court in arguments tomorrow to ratify a ruling from a conservative federal appeals court that would limit access to a medication called mifepristone, which was used in nearly two-thirds of abortions last year. The case comes 2 years after the court overturned Roe v. Wade, enabling bans or severe restrictions on abortion in many Republican-led states. A decision could come by late June. Like the 2022 ruling, this decision could become a political campaign issue. Mifepristone is made by a New York-based Donko Laboratories. An earlier ruling from a U.S. District Court judge in Texas would have revoked the drug's approval. And the latest installment in a 40-year-old film franchise took the number one spot at the movies this weekend. More from ABC's Dave Packer.
Who you gonna call?
The Ghostbusters are finished.
Not quite yet. The fifth film in the franchise, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, taking the top spot at the box office, beating expectations, earning $45.2 million. Dune Part 2 hangs on to its number two spot, selling $17.6 million worth of tickets. Kung Fu Panda 4 drops to third place. In fourth, the horror film Immaculate, the second new release of the weekend with a meager $5.3 million debut. Mark Wahlberg's Arthur the King rounds out the top five. Dave Packer, ABC News.